Our God and Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening, and we worship you, the only wise God, you who need no counsellors or advisors. You never make a bad decision or need to change your mind. Your ways, though hidden from us, often are perfect. You are infinitely greater than anything in your creation. There's nothing in all creation, Lord, that we can adequately compare you to. You are the incomparable God. And we praise you that you are God and not a man like us. You aren't governed by moods or emotions or fears or anxieties. Your love never blows hot or cold. You are faithful to all your promises and have the power to control all things. We praise you that you have revealed yourself to us as our Heavenly Father, the God of love, the personal God, and not just the powerful God. We praise you that you have revealed yourself most fully in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Though higher than angels, he became a servant by taking our humanity. Though sustaining the universe, he became vulnerable in the womb and was cradled in Mary's arms. We praise you that he is our Redeemer, the one who has died to save us from our sins. We praise you for his mighty power in rising from the dead. He now sits at your right hand, our great high priest, and from there will return in glory to receive us to himself. And we give you glory for your Son and for the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the life giver, ever one with you and with your Son. We give him glory and we glorify you and the Son for the Holy Spirit. Lord, you are holy, but there is much in our life that is unholy. Forgive us for our sins and transgressions this week. Human beings look in the outward appearance, but you see our hearts. So we don't want to pretend that we've been something this week that we're not. Forgive us for acting and pretending this week. Forgive us, Lord, for the deficit of love in our hearts. Forgive us for not pursuing your glory above all other things. Forgive us for seeking treasures on earth before treasures in heaven. Forgive us for trampling over other people. Forgive us for our short fuse. Forgive us for being unfaithful and unkind in our relationships. We've cared more about what people think of us than what you think. We've longed for what's not ours to have. We've been holding grudges, Lord, against other people. Lord, we've nothing to boast of or be proud about. We richly deserve your judgment. And if the Lord Jesus had not died for us, then we'd have been eternally lost without any hope of a comeback. And yet how rich is your mercy to us in him. There's not one of these sins that we have committed that his blood cannot cleanse. So we bow before you and pray, forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us and renew us. Empower us for your service this week through him. We thank you for the daily blessings of food and clothing. We thank you for your protection over our lives and over our families. Even the tiny creatures are cared for by you, and you've said that we're more valuable than they are. We thank you for the church family, for Christian fellowship, and for the word of God in our own language. We thank you for people that you have gifted and called to lead the churches. Lord, there are so many ways in which we see your care, but we know that there are many, many more ways in which your care is never seen by us. And so we thank you not only for what we have seen, but for also for what we don't see. We thank you, Lord, that evil and suffering are for a short time only, and that Christ will soon bring them to pass. We pray for those in authority as your word commands us. Lord, we confess we've never known such a time as this in UK politics. It feels as if our leaders are engulfed in chaos, and we pray that you would stabilise the ship. We pray for the new Prime Minister, whoever that may be, and their ministers, that you would give them wisdom to deal with the massive problems facing our country, like inflation, the energy crisis, the war in Ukraine, and the huge debt that our country is burdened with. Lord, these things should humble us before you. And we pray that in these times that many of our politicians would look outside of themselves and to you. Father, we pray for the people affected by the war in Ukraine. We ask that you would bring peace and justice to this country. We ask that Vladimir Putin and his generals and the Russian people would lose their appetite for this conflict and seek to bring it to an end. We pray too, Lord, that the relationships between the Russian and Ukrainian churches that have been so badly damaged by these events, we pray that a spirit of humility in both sides would prevail and that relationships would be repaired. We remember as well other conflicts in our world. We pray for peace in the Horn of Africa. We ask that the needless loss of life there would be brought to an end. We pray for those who are persecuted for their faith in the Lord Jesus. He said that in this world we'd have tribulation, and there are many of our family in Christ who are hurting. We pray especially tonight for those who are young in the faith. We pray for young Christians suffering discrimination at work and pressure from their families. We pray for children whose parents have been martyred or thrown in jail. Give them the strength through your Spirit to persevere and not give up. May they grow in faith and in love through these hard times for your glory. We pray for the mission and ministry of this church. Please strengthen the pastor, Nathan, and protect him and his family from the evil one. Give him joy in ministering to your people, and give him wisdom to deal with pastoral issues that arise. Pray that you would give them a refreshing holiday this week. Remember those who work among the young people and help them as they teach them your word. We pray for outreach to the town, that you would open up good conversations and opportunities. And ask, Lord, that the church would be able to present the gospel message in a clear and a winsome way to people in the town. We pray for conversions and for people to be added to the church. We pray for people to be discipled by being baptized and following the teaching of your word. And Lord, we want to bring this congregation before you this evening. We pray for those who are walking the difficult path of obedience. We pray for elderly people who are struggling with illness and general bodily weakness. May they not become disheartened or discouraged. May they grow stronger in faith. Help them to know that they are still useful to you as long as you have kept them here and not called them home. And as we go into this week, we want to bring specific requests before you, Lord. We pray that you would help us to fear you more and to fear people less. Help us not to be swayed by the crowd. Give us a longer fuse when we're dealing with challenging people and situations. Help us not to be ruled by our passions and desires. Help us not to become set in our ways. Help us to deal in a godly way with people who provoke us. Help us to love one another as Christ has loved us. Help us to think even bigger thoughts of you, Lord. And may we be energized by the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus, who has conquered death and will raise us from the grave. May we, as we go about our life this week, may we be looking to the coming of the King. And we pray for this service this evening. May we be deeply affected by your word, Lord. Save us from thinking that this message is not for us, it's for someone else. May we not walk out the door unmoved and unchanged. May your Spirit do his transforming work in our souls. Inform our minds and inflame our hearts, Lord, and turn us to Christ. And we pray these things through our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his all for your glory. Amen. Our next hymn is number 10 in Christian hymns, Give to Our God Immortal Praise. We're going to read from the Bible now in the New Testament, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. So the first book in the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. If you've got a pew Bible, you're not sure about the books in the Bible, it's 853, page 853. So Matthew says, take heed, verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And we're going to be looking at that passage in a few minutes. Now we're going to sing again. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Thank you. Please take your seats. I'm going to be looking at those few verses that we read in Matthew chapter 6, the first four verses. And we're going to be hearing what the Lord is teaching us through these verses. So it's nearly Halloween, as you know, and the children will be coming round. They'll be wearing costumes and wearing masks. Of course, we're all very used to wearing masks now, aren't we? But isn't there a big difference between wearing a mask to protect yourself and wearing a mask to disguise yourself? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus never mentions a mask. But he says a lot about the type of people who wear masks. He's talking about the hypocrite, the one who hides behind a mask, who pretends to be something, but is really something else. Now, if there's anything all of us are very good at, it's pretending, isn't it? Fake it till you make it. Wearing a mask, so that people never see what's behind the outward appearance. But here, in these verses, Jesus challenges his disciples to quit pretending and to get real. Get real, says Jesus in these verses. Live openly before the one who sees through every mask. The first 18 verses, verse 1 to 18, are about how we worship. How do you give? How do you pray? How do you deny yourself? Is it real? Or is it fake? Is it for God's glory? Or is it for your glory? That's the question. So how will you stop being fake and get real with God? Let's hear what Jesus says in these verses. So first of all, verse 1, he teaches us to check your motive. Check your motive. Notice how Jesus begins with a warning here. He says, be careful, take heed how you give to the needy. Now notice he doesn't say give to the needy, that's assumed. Religious people tend to do that. But he says be careful how you give, doesn't he? Be careful how you give. Giving, praying, fasting, all great things to do in worshipping God. But they can become a performance only, can't they? And when it comes to our giving as a church, we need to ask, why am I doing this? Who is it for? Who is it really for? Red Nose Day, Comic Relief, sponsored marathons and half marathons. Charity giving isn't just big business. It's a good and admired thing to do, like it was in Jewish culture.
Don't we warm to charity-minded people? They rise in our eyes, in our estimation. And isn't this what Jesus is saying here? If you give to charity, to needy people openly, in front of other people, so that they see it, then you will rise in their eyes. They'll think well of you. They'll admire you. They'll think, what a generous guy, what a generous lady. Now, knowing how people think, you might want to impress them. You might say, that's the way to be liked, to be loved, to build a reputation as a generous person, a generous giver. Or you might think that you're fooling others, but you can't fool God. For God sees the heart and he sees the motive. And he knows if you're real or if you're fake. See, that's the difference between God and human beings, isn't it? Human beings look on the outer appearance. They see the outer things that you do. But God alone sees the heart. Doesn't he know if you're out to serve him or just to impress other people, even people in church? And he knows where you'll end up if your life is all about impressing other people. Be careful, he says, not to practice your righteousness, charitable deeds, in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. You know, if you live and give to impress people, you leave with nothing and receive nothing. Is this a time to examine your heart? To do as Jesus warns you, to take care. Who are you living to please? Who are you trying to impress? If you live to impress other people, you can't bring glory to God. Take care, says Jesus, that you don't leave with nothing. Check your motive. But then secondly, verse 2, he doesn't just say check your motive. He says check your mistake. Check your mistake. Now imagine you're sitting in church one Sunday, let's say Sunday morning, and suddenly the organ strikes up. It's a rousing tune. And the minister comes to the front to give an announcement. And you think to yourself, oh, what's happened? Has somebody got engaged? Has a baby been born? Has somebody recovered from a serious illness? And the minister asks a certain Mrs. Jones to come out the front. My apologies if your name's Mrs. Jones. And you think to yourself, what's happening? And Mrs. Jones comes out. She wants everyone to know that she's giving a very generous gift to the church that's going to repair that leaky roof that causes so much damage when on a Sunday morning when it's pouring of rain. And you might think, well, that's never happened in this church. Maybe you're thinking we could do with a Mrs. Jones here. But isn't this the sort of behavior that Jesus warns against in this verse? Trumpeting your giving, just in case anybody's missed it. Drawing attention to it. Have you ever been tempted to let people know what you've given? There are all sorts of ways to trumpet your giving, aren't there? It might be a plaque in the wall or a post in social media. You might think you're deceiving others, but Christ isn't fooled, is he? Look how Jesus exposes mistaken motives. He says, verse 2, you are giving to be honoured by others. You don't seek glory for God or from God. You seek glory and honour and praise from other people. Now, Jesus has a name for this type of person, doesn't he? Did you notice it? He says they are hypocrites, pretending to be something that you're not, pretending to be real when you're really a fake. That is a hypocrite. Oh yes, these people were generous. There's no doubt about that. You wouldn't give a gift of 10 pence and announce it with trumpets, would you? What an embarrassment. So they had to be giving something worth announcing. But you're a hypocrite, says Jesus. It doesn't matter about the amount. You pretend to care about the poor, but what you really care about is your reputation. It's what other people think about you. Hypocrisy, it breaks God's 9th commandment, doesn't it? You shall not bear false testimony. You're claiming to be one thing. You're saying, I'm this, but you're really that. It also breaks the 1st commandment, doesn't it? You shall have no other gods before me. What is hypocrisy doing? It's acting like a magnet, drawing attention to who? To you. Not to God, to you. To self. Now, why is hypocrisy dressed as charity such a big temptation? Well, don't we get something really nice when we give or fundraise and get known about it? You know, when people know what we've given to the needy, we can get something that we really enjoy. You can get attention. Who doesn't love attention? People will notice you. They might even love you or admire you and speak well of you. These are all things that we enjoy. You see, there is a reward from other people, from our peers, from our friends. Maybe if you use social media. There's a reward for those who trumpet their giving, who say, look what I gave. Or make it known some way. But, says Jesus, that's it. That's your reward. What the people give you, and no more. Your treasure will be in earth. It will not be in heaven. So before you give, why not ask, whose approval do I seek in doing this? Do I seek God's approval or men's approval? Do I want a like on my Twitter feed or a thank you card dropped through the door? You know, sometimes we can give and then we can be annoyed that nobody's, they've not thanked us. We're looking for praise and appreciation from them. Do I want the church to honour me? Do I want the reputation of being a generous person? Or do I want God to have the glory? All of it. And for me, just to be honoured by him. That's all. You see, is the approval of other people worth having when that's all you get? When at the end of the day you lose out? Don't make the mistake. If you practice your charitable giving in front of others to be seen by them, you will have no reward, says Jesus, from your Father in heaven. So it's important when we come to give to check your motive, first of all. Check your mistake. There's a right way to give and a wrong way to give. And then finally, verse 3 and 4, please check your method. We've heard how you shouldn't give, but how should you give? Notice how in verse 3 Jesus says, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's a figure of speech, isn't it, to teach us that giving to people in need has to be as secret as possible. Now, if you've been reading Matthew's Gospel up to this point, you'll know that in chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus says this. He says, let your light shine so that people will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You think, well, wait a minute. What's it to be? How does a disciple of Jesus go about doing good things? Is it public or is it private? Is it secret or is it seen? Well, the big question is, who's in the spotlight? Who's getting the glory? In chapter 5, good deeds have to be done openly so that God gets the glory. In chapter 6, good deeds have to be done secretly so that God gets the glory. So when you ask, is this to be public or private, isn't the key question, who gets the glory? Who's in the spotlight in all this? And making our giving open and public and showy draws attention to us, doesn't it? And not to God. So let me ask you, what do you seek in life? Do you seek men's approval? Do you seek the approval of other people? Or do you seek God's approval? How does this show in how you give to needy people? Think of the Lord Jesus. Jesus himself will give to the needy, won't he? He'll give to people like us who need his help more than anything. Oh, and he won't give by throwing coins in a box. He will do it by offering his whole life to God on the cross. It will be costly. It will be a sacrifice. But it certainly won't be trumpeted to seek attention or approval from other people, will it? It will be hidden. What Jesus does, what Jesus gives, will be hidden and seen only by God. Matthew tells us later in his gospel that darkness came over the land when Jesus was giving to the needy. So there's nothing of self in it for Jesus, is there? When Jesus gives, it's all for God and for his glory. Jesus is so secure in his Father's love, he needs no approval from men, no matter the cost. And if God is your heavenly Father, what do you need to pretend about? Is he somebody who needs to be impressed? Does he need you to pretend that you're something that you're not? Doesn't he know the secret things of your heart? Doesn't he see through every mask? See, when you only care about honor from God, you don't need to pretend, do you? You don't need to try and impress anybody. Wouldn't you like to live like that? Free from the need to impress anybody. And seeking only to please God. In life, some things are worth waiting for. And some things are really worth sacrificing for. And if you would come to Christ, and if you would come to Him this evening, and follow Christ, and know God is your Heavenly Father, then you must sacrifice the praise of men now for the praise of God later. That's the method. That's the way of discipleship. That's the way of following Christ. Sacrificing the praise of men now for the praise of God later. You must sacrifice glory from men, from human beings, for glory from God. But is that not worth waiting for? So why not come? Come to the Lord Jesus. Leave the approval of others behind. And give your life to Christ. And give it today. And we pray that you will. We're going to sing our final hymn. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, as Christ gives us all, my richest gain, I count but loss. The approval of men, I count but loss. And pour contempt on all my pride.